When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy. Woo! And sadness. Oh. And anger. Ah. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
This is Ron Keel, the Metal Cowboy, and you're listening to Cobras and Fire. Rock is not dead. You found it.
You're listening to the Cobras on Fire podcast, part of the Decibel Geek Podcast Network, featuring special guest, the Metal Cowboy, Ron Keel.
Welcome back to the program, the Metal Cowboy. Of course, I'm talking about Les Dudas.
Les Dudas, Paco, great to be back on the show with you. Thank you so much.
Of course, we actually have Ron Keel on the phone. That was a shout out for your Patreons, followers of the Roncast. If you want to explain it,
my alter ego, Les Dudas, D-U-D-I-S, was at one point my alias when I checked into a hotel, and you gotta, you know, kind of cover your tracks so that people don't know how to find you. So that was my favorite alias. Let's do this. And that's what I do. That's what we keep doing. I have several alter egos, the Metal Cowboy, Let's Do This, Ron Keel, and I'm Skid So, and so are we.
Ron, you are the first time we've had a three-time guest appear on the show, so that's quite an honor for you.
It is an honor for me, and I always love talking to you guys, and I appreciate your support.
Did you happen to catch the Super Bowl? I know you're a football fan. I assume you watched it. Did you enjoy it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I always enjoy it. I wish it had been the Saints. I mean, the Saints should have been there because of that botched call at the end of the NFC Championship game. Heartbreaking to the people of New Orleans and to football fans everywhere, because that's the game we should have seen. Brees against Brady. Come on.
Yeah, fuck them. I'm a Viking fan, so those cheaters can rot in hell.
Well, I'm always rooting for the old guy, man. You know, the guy, those two geezers still have some gas left in the tank, kind of like I do, so I can relate.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Did you enjoy the halftime show? That seemed to garner a lot of blowback from people.
I did not watch the halftime show. We took a break, went in the hot tub, had a beer, and came back when it was over. I have absolutely zero interest in that particular halftime show. There's been a couple of good ones. I thought Gaga knocked it out of the park, Kiss, Springsteen, Prince, but Maroon 5, you can have it. No thanks.
Okay, well, maybe we'll get the Metal Cowboy in next year, huh?
No, I doubt it, but AC/DC, man, how cool would that be?
That'd be all right, huh?
Well, even though they're not American, but neither is The Who, or, you know, some of these bands that have done the halftime show. I think AC/DC would be a slam dunk for the Super Bowl halftime show. That's my vote.
I actually am a big fan of just skipping the whole thing, just like you did. Just hit the hot tub, have a beer, come back when it's done. I think they make too much of it. But
yeah.
Well, hey, you know what? Enough about football. There is so much going on in the Ron Keel universe. We really need to start digging into it today. You have a new record coming out, but before we get into that, there's actually a release today that came out that has you all over it, and that's the Emerald Sabbath, Black Sabbath kind of tribute.
Thought you might mention that. It's a tough one coming right out of the chutes with the Sabbath question because I don't know what to say. I'm very tempted to throw a no comment at you. Right out of the chutes here with the Sabbath tribute. I don't know what to say.
Oh, have you not heard it, or is there an issue?
Yeah, I heard it. I heard it. And I guess now we have to address it. If I address it, it's only going to draw more attention to it because I'm on your podcast. and it was a very, very special project for me getting to do the Dio track, the Gillan track, and the Ozzy track. But I'm sure if you listen – and pay attention, you'll realize that it's not me singing Die Young, it's fucking Alvin and the Chipmunks, because they pitched it up from E-flat almost to F for some reason, and the producer of the session is very understanding. Mike Sullivan, the guy who put the whole thing together, Mad Mike, and super guy. And really, I'm really proud to be a part of that project. I'm encouraging fans, your listeners, and my fans to hold off because they are going to remix it. We don't know what happened or why that got pitched up, but it's they took my balls off. They cut my balls off, man. It's very upsetting. First thing I did this morning when I woke up, I grabbed my first cup of coffee and I bought the damn thing because I hadn't heard the mixes. I bought it, I listened to it, and I absolutely was heartbroken. And Ronnie James Dio pissing down from heaven on that track right now. It's an embarrassment. And I only hope that they fix it. And I hope that we get a faithful version out there because Rudy Sarzo cut the bass in E flat. DC Cawthorn cut the guitars in E flat. I sang the damn thing in E flat, just like Ronnie James Dio did. There's absolutely no reason to pitch it up an entire step from E flat almost to F. It's like right between E and F somewhere. There's no reason for that. I can't imagine how that could have happened. And the producer of the executive producer, Mike, I guess he heard it too. You know, you probably should have listened to it before you released it. Man, it's very, very upsetting to me.
Well, I didn't mean to start off on a sour note. I honestly had no idea. I did notice it seemed a little bit out of your normal range, but you know, who am I to judge? You know, I just kind of hammered through the three tracks you did today.
Well, I'd sang it in the same key Ronnie James Dio sang it in.
Sure,
the key
sure.
It's supposed to be in. But yeah, it lost its balls. It's all pitched. It's pitched up like a chipmunk. Now, Trashed is fine. Trashed is good. Amazing track. I'm really proud of that vocal, and the mix sounds great. Trashed is great. Unfortunately, Die Young is the first voice you hear on the record.
Yeah.
and then Hole in the Sky is pitched up as well. The other song that I did, not pitched up an entire step. I don't know who mixed it or what they were thinking, but yeah, I'm pissed. You probably can't tell.
No, I can totally tell. How about I try to cheer you up a little bit? Because you were kind enough to send me a link to check out the new album, Fight Like a Band. You're having the release party on February 23rd. Does the album actually drop on March 1st?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, because I've got to wait for my pre-order. I got to tell you, Ron, I absolutely adored the record. I can't wait for the weather here to warm up just a little bit more so I can roll the windows down in the car and just hit the pedal to the floor and enjoy this record. Fight Like a Band, of course, is what I'm talking about. I don't even know where to begin. Tell me a little, just what do you want to talk about first? I got track by track notes here.
It means a lot to me, and it is the most personal statement that I've ever made. And it's by far the most diverse. I mean, even Metal Cowboy was kind of between the lines with that, you know, metal cowboy southern rock kind of thing. This one's all over the map. This record takes you on a journey from bone-crushing metal, like the lead track, Road Ready, to some commercial rock, like Fight Like a Band, the title track, the Hearts Gone Wild, which is one of my favorite songs on the record. Good songs, bad times, working man's anthems like Fire in the Rain, and the Keel classics as well. We redid four Keel songs from my my path. Right to Rock, Tears of Fire, finally got the vocal it deserves. So this record has, you know, it really has everything on it. And I'm super proud. I'm glad that you liked it. You're one of the first people to hear it. I've played a few songs on my radio show during the rough mix stage when I was doing live radio, and I'd pop a song onto the broadcast just so I could listen to it on the air to see how it sounds through the broadcast signal, and to share it with the fans and to get, you know, kind of share those special moments. Hey, I'm listening to this for the first time with my audience, my listeners, because, you know, I hadn't heard these mixes either. Mike Drash, my co-producer, would send me the mix in the email, and the email pops up, and I played it on the radio. And so you're one of the first people to actually hear the whole album in its entirety, top to bottom. So I appreciate your kind words and the fact that you like it and enjoy it and you're excited about it. It means a lot to me.
I actually do. You know, it's I've only had a few listens, but it's near the top of everything you've ever done for me as a fan of your career. You know, I will tell you this, Ron. One of the things I always look for with someone like yourself who's had a long career, I want to hear Ron Keel now. Like, if I go see you live at your CD release party on February 23rd in, what's that, Lakewood, Iowa?
Lurchwood, Iowa, just outside of Sioux Falls.
Okay. If I go there, I want to hear the Right to Rock. But when you release new material, I want to hear Ron Keel now. I don't want to hear, you know, Ron Keel try to rewrite Right the Rock, and you did not. You hit this out of the park. This sounds, there's so many personal notes of your life that you can hear in the music and the lyrics, and it just sounds like this is where you are now. And I just as a fan, I really appreciate. It's like I grew up with you. You know what I mean?
I do appreciate that. I wish and hope that more fans will feel that way. And I understand that those records from the 80s are part of the soundtrack of our lives, but our lives aren't over, man. We're still making soundtracks. We're still orchestrating our future and our present. And I treasure the past and embrace it, but none of us are the same people we were 30 years ago. We got to evolve. We have to grow. Some of my favorite and the most iconic artists of all time are the ones that have reinvented themselves and evolved and grew and stretched the boundaries. And, you know, there's no better example than that Bohemian Rhapsody movie, the huge film from last year that featured Queen and Freddie Mercury's story. You can just tell. That's one thing that really, I'd always been a Queen fan, but I didn't realize how diverse they were. They would go from one extreme to the other, from opera to funk to pop to metal to disco. I didn't even realize that. I was just a Queen fan. You know, and I kind of feel the same way about artists like David Bowie, who constantly reinvented himself. And I don't do it because I'm not satisfied with who I am. I enjoy exploring new territory. I like chasing new frontiers, and whether it's a mountain or an ocean or a desert or the tundra. I mean, I like exploring new territory within myself and within my music, and I don't like to put barricades around my creativity. I just sat down and tried to write the best songs I could. And I also, this record was a team effort with my guys in my band. We get together in my basement with guitars and whiskey and hash out tunes. And I would have a title or a verse or a chorus or just a piece, and I'd play it for them, and they'd kind of help me figure out where to go next, which is very unlike me, being the control freak that I am. I wrote Metal Cowboy all on my own without any co-writing or assistance, very personal project that I wrote myself, every note, every lick, everything. And this one was a team effort. This one's a collaboration. Why does this one feel so much more personal to me? And that's the dichotomy of the situation. But the guys in the band are
you
truly...
You let people in, Ron.
That friendship and that... And the fact was, they all bought into my philosophy. I'm like the head coach. And getting back to our football analogy, I'll always use a football metaphor, but I'm the head coach. I'm the Bill Belichick of the Ron Keel band. And my guys all do their jobs. They all play their positions, and they all make plays when I need them to. And they bought into my system. I told them, this is how I write. and we'd never written before. We said, let's make a record. And I thought we'd hopefully end up with half a dozen songs. We'd maybe do some Keel songs and some covers. And we sat down to write, and I told them, this is how I do it. And I kind of schooled them on my songwriting approach, my philosophy, and they bought it. And they started to, I just started pouring out. It turned into a very magical release, and I can't wait for everybody to hear it.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait to get my my physical copy, like I said, so I can slap that sucker in the Bach Cruiser and just drive around, irritate my neighbors. But
right. What are some of your favorite songs? I mean, if you can.
Yeah, actually, I got a handful here, man. If you got a minute, Road Ready. You released a lyric video for that, and obviously, it basically all the lyrics are kind of a nod to other lyrics from songs of your career and moments in your career. Do I hear a little bit of Serenade in the music in the a little bit of lead and intro?
Well, it's E minor. I mean, it's the same chord.
Okay.
Yes. Now that you mention it, there is a little similarity to that. I sat down to, we had the music, and I sat down to write the lyrics on top of it, which is not my favorite thing to do. I did have the chorus, Road Ready. I knew we're going to go to the C, D, E, Road Ready. I had the chorus written, but then it's time to write the verses, and I sat down and I started singing lines from my previous career just as placeholders. You figure I need X amount of syllables here, and here's the melody, and kind of putting it together. The first couple of lines, I'm rolling down the highway in the dead of the night, and all these lyrics from my previous career, and I thought, man, that, how cool would that be if I could just kind of pay tribute to me or my history. I didn't mean to sound like that. Just write a tribute to Ron Keel.
A shrine to myself.
But I realized that I had so many, well, I've got a large catalog, a pretty big body of work, so it wasn't hard to find phrases that rhymed or that fit.
Yeah,
and
no,
so
it ended
up being, how many are there, Baco? Do you know how many phrases?
I didn't count. I mean, I know when you first threw it up there, you're like, see if you can catch them all. I probably caught at least 80% of them. But yeah, I mean, if you want, I'll spend the night. I'll get back to you in the morning. But
I'll give you a $20 gift certificate for the Ron Keel online store if you can name them all. Oh, there's 20. I'll tell you, there's 20 of them.
All right, so I can I can email you that, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Very, very cool track. Fight Like a Band kind of caught me off guard because I wasn't expecting it to kind of open up lyrically the way it did. Now, is that about, it seems like it's about your wife Renee's cancer battle. Is that right?
Absolutely, yes.
Some dreams come true, and sometimes life has other plans.
Because instead of saying fight like a man, you say fight like a girl. And then, of course, you tie in the same kind of desire to fight, you know, in the second verse where you're talking about just trying to create a career for yourself.
That's correct. You know, I just sat down and wrote what I felt, man. And we've all fought together. Renee's part of the band, too.
Sure.
And we've all fought like a band through the adversity of the last 4 years with having some amazing dreams come true, having our asses kicking right back. And during her bout with cancer, the band was built literally within days of her diagnosis. So we were the Badlands house band, and all of a sudden the plug got pulled. No more gig, no more band, no more tour bus, no more financial backing, no more nothing really. We had some gigs on the books for the next year. That would have been 2016. But we were a tough spot. And all of a sudden, it was the same time frame. Literally within a matter of days, Renee was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. And, you know, that was a punch to the gut, to say the least. And the band was built at that point when we had to make the decision, either I'm done, because I'm not leaving. If she's having chemo or radiation or surgery, I'm not leaving. I actually did a gig, you know, on a day that she had a surgery. I was there for every surgery, not every chemo treatment, but, you know, it was a decision that I had to make that how am I going to keep going into this new challenge without, literally without any support, having to change the name of the band to the Ron Keel Band and rebuild and lead the thing myself, mm-hmm. Without the previous production entertainment group that had been behind us. I realized that Renee takes energy and joy and positivity from my energy, joy, and positivity when I'm singing and playing and creating and writing. I'm on top of the world. I'm who I was born to be. I'm full of energy and excitement and love and happiness. And I think she fed off that. And it was kind of obvious that I got to keep going somehow. We got to rebrand this thing as the Ron Keel Band, and we've got to make a record. We've got to write our own music. We've got to make a record. We had not played any original music except the Keel catalog up until that point. The decision was made to talk to David Ellison from EMP Label Group and pitch David with the idea of making an original Ron Keel Band album. And he embraced the idea, and he and Tom Hazard from EMP have been nothing but supportive throughout the entire process.
Both very cool dudes. I've met Tom, but not Dave. But Dave's from Minnesota, so I have to assume he's awesome.
He is. He is. Great guys, man. And you know, the friendship that has blossomed from that business and working relationship has been a huge plus to us. But yeah, that song Fight Like a Band is about that struggle that we went through both in life and in the business. And a truer lyric I've never written. I mean, that every line is a piece of my life in music and lyrical form. So I'm glad that you felt the impact of those lyrics.
Yeah, I definitely connected with almost every song. But I will tell you, it was the fourth song in the record that I started to feel like I was really listening to an album. You know what I mean? Like, I was on the verge of like, oh my Lord, this might be my next really, embraced musical collection. And that's the track Long Way Down. Ron, absolutely love this song.
It's a long way down. Baby, hold on to me and never let me touch the ground. It's a long way down. Scared I'm gonna fall without your loving arms around.
By this point, like, I'm hooked. I'm like, this record has hit all phases four tracks in. I can't wait to hear what's next. That's probably right now my favorite track, but I can tell this album is going to be one of those ones that I go back to, and suddenly another song is going to be something I gravitate towards.
I appreciate that. And so much of it is from real life, and some of it's very personal. But I also like the story songs, like Rock and Roll Guitar. The story of a guitar.
It's like a Ron Keel version of Jukebox Hero.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the songs aren't similar, but it's like a story of a guy, like, you know, holding the guitar.
The story of a guitar really that passes from one hand to another. And it was going to be a novel. I was going to write a novel about a guitar that had gone through, you know, from a pawn shop to a blues guy to a jazz cat, did a Les Paul, passed on to a kid. And I said, well, let's just make it a song. I don't have time to write another novel right now. Let's make it a song. I had 14 pages of lyrics. I told you the whole story about this guitar, and I realized, oh, this is, you know, it's 3-hour song. So I had to cut it down a little bit. It
condensed a concept record run.
Really, but it could have been. But I love that fact that I'm telling the story about this guitar that changes hands from one generation to the next. And on the song, we actually pass the guitar to the next generation of guitar heroes. Eli Dykstra, young man by the name of Eli Dykstra, he's 16 years old, and he is going to be the next guitar hero. I've watched the kid grow up the last 4 years since we've been here in the Midwest, and a fantastic human being, an amazing player. Eli Rocks is his handle on Instagram, Facebook, and all that. I encourage everybody to check him out. And so we really literally did, for the session, the guitar gets passed from one musician to another, and Eli ends up with it at the end of the song and does that blazing end solo. So it's a 16-year-old kid just shredding on the end of that tune.
Hmm. Really?
Yep.
Awesome. I'm glad we went back to that one, yeah.
I did like the song.
I just didn't know if – I didn't have a lot of notes on it. But the next track is Hearts Gone Wild. You mentioned in the lead-in that was one of your favorite tracks. Tell us why that one connects with you. You're the songwriter.
It's telling a story. It is telling a story, and I don't want to give away the ending. Once you've heard it, you know how the song ends. But it did not come from real life experience.
Oh,
it
cool.
It came from just the desire to tell a story about two people who meet, and music creates a bond between the two of them, and they fall in love. And I can't tell you what happens. You know what happens because you've heard the track, but. It was one of those songs that took me a long time to write. They say that the best songs are those gifts from God that come in 20 minutes or less. Well, this one was 20 years. I think I started that lyric in 1998. And finally, it just came together. I had that signature riff, which I love to build a song around. It's a big, strong, solid signature riff. And you find out where it goes from there. And just the writing process of that one. That's the only song on the record I wrote by myself. So that one is not as personal, but it's not about me, if you know what I mean.
I do, actually. And back to your other point, you know, I mean, I think sometimes it, you know, there's a reason things take a long time to finish. You know what I mean? It's just you weren't quite ready to do it, you know? I've experienced both as far as the song that came together quick and something that you just had to fight through and just put it away and come back to it, that kind of stuff. But
I keep all the ideas in the bank, and whatever I didn't use didn't mean it wasn't great, or just maybe it didn't percolate or ferment properly, and it's still there in the vault for the next record.
I was going to make a little joke there. I always imagine you kept your songs in a Gene Simmons vault.
In the Ron Keel vault, which
yes.
for $50, I'll come to your house. My demos. I'll take a picture with you, and we'll listen to my demos together for $50. Just find me online at ronkeel.com.
Yeah,
you give me $50, and I'll pay my own airfare.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
Deal.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I hope.
How about that cameo? How about that cameo thing everybody's doing now? Have you seen that?
No, what's that?
It's this service called Cameo. It's an app where Tommy Lee and Vince Neil.
Oh, yes, I have. And Ron Keel were like, hey, buddy, happy birthday.
Exactly. Everybody goes, Rod, you should do this. I'm not doing that. You could, but in the online store at ronkeel.com, you can get the video shout out for the same price. I am offering that same service in the online store at ronkeel.com.
Let's get back to the record. Another killer track, Ron. Good songs, bad times.
I need some good songs to help me through the bad times. A melody, some loud guitars, and words that rhyme. I don't need no symphony. Yes, just gotta breathe. All night long, a sweet love song about you and me. Let the bad times rock.
I absolutely adore the line, let the bad times rock. How has that not been used already?
I know, dude. I mean, really, of course, when you come up with a line like that, I'm glad you noticed that. Really cool attention to detail. Let the bad times rock. What it means to me is, man, no matter how bad it gets, just have a good time and rock out. Let the bad times rock. And I Googled it. Of course, you're going to nowadays, you just go into a search engine, and you find that It's never been used. There's been a couple similar,
okay,
but that phrase has never been used. I love doing that when you can come up with an original phrase. Right to Rock, obviously, was the best one ever. At the time, nobody had – I thought of that phrase, and it literally built my career on top of it.
Sure.
Just to come up with a money phrase like that, the Right to Rock.
I think this is better. Times. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the Right to Rock, but I mean this is like so subtle. It's almost like that Eagles tune. What's that?
Life in the Fast Lane.
Like nobody had ever used that before. This is like that like level. I'm just like, it's so perfect because who can't relate to that? Leaning on music to get through a rough patch.
That's exactly what it's all about, man.
Oh my God, great tune. Next up is it's the first single, right? Girls Like Me.
I need a woman that can hold her own. Work all day, party all night long. Saturdays on the town, Sunday on the couch. Watching the game, loving out loud. She's pretty, she's smart. She's got balls and she's got heart.
This song fucking kicks ass, Ron. When's the video
coming
out? I'm
glad you like it. The video will drop here next week. So you'll see that very soon. And a very unique video concept, I might add. Disparaging any of my peers or anybody else in the business now. But obviously, video budgets aren't what they used to be.
Sure, but it's also easier to make one.
You just put a bunch of guys in front of a green screen or in a warehouse, you know, and you got HD cameras and they're performing the song. Not this. This is a fun, entertaining video that you're going to want to watch over and over again. We're in it, but we're not the stars of it. Let's put it that way.
Is it safe for work?
Oh, it depends on your line of work.
I work in a tit bar.
Well, then, it's going to be perfect for you.
Great.
Perfect. You may have seen some of the clips already on my social media, but we filmed our portion of the video in a gentleman's club here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, called Scarlett O'Hara's.
Who is the tit bar DJ in the song?
Gino, our bass player.
Okay. All right.
And he does the voice because he actually used to be a gentleman's club. I prefer to call it a tit bar. A gentleman's club. He was actually the DJ in a gentleman's club back in the day.
Put your hands together for candy.
Oh, looky. No.
Yeah, that was a good line.
And we just had fun with it. It's definitely the most fun song on the record. And
catchy as hell, and you know, in a good way. It's such a perfect single.
I appreciate you saying that. I hope that the rest of the world agrees with you. I think so too. It's just fun. Man. It's entertaining. It's not the message basically is pretty simple, but it's entertainment, man. You know, I'm not preaching to anybody. There are songs in this record about heartbreak, about real life, about going through tough times, about working hard and never getting anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like Fire in the Rain, which is certainly a favorite of mine. Closest thing I think we've got to a ballad on this record.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, that Girls Like Me song, you're right. It's a hit single, and it's a lot of fun.
You know, it switches into that Fire and Rain. But one thing that at this point that becomes very obvious as a listener that I at least want to share with you is that, like, these songs have a lot of color and shape to them. There is a lot of difference from one song to the next. They all stick out, but it sounds cohesive still, even though you're using some different styles from track to track. Some of them are a little more country. Like you said, some are a little more hard metal, but it doesn't sound disjointed or anything like that. It's a very smooth listen all the way through.
I appreciate that. That's the idea. That's what I'm shooting for. You never know. I mean, it does kind of, it's my style, I guess, but it is a very diverse record. I really like coming out of old school, which is twangy southern kind of thing, right into the Right to Rock.
Song is about you, though, isn't it? Isn't old school about Little Ron.
Yeah, and I actually wanted to change the to spell the title differently. I wanted to spell it OLD apostrophe S COOL. Old school, but yeah.
I like that.
I thought hard, long and hard about that one, but and now all of a sudden, you know, I think Frank Hannon now has a song called Old School. That's the title of the new Helix album, Old School. So I probably should have spelled it the way I originally wanted to spell it, like Old School, man. You know, life begins at 55 as far as I'm concerned. I've got a long way to go. The best is yet to come, and today was the best day of my life until tomorrow. That's how I feel.
Well, from now forward, I am always going to intentionally pronounce old school, old's cool.
All right, thank you.
The tip of the hat to you, Ron, the Metal Cowboy. I will say the one track I liked listening to the Keel medley, but that to me is like probably the only thing I'd ever, I mean, skip again. You know what I mean? Everything on here is just a keeper. I love the new stuff. What made you decide to do that? It was cool to listen to, you know, modern day recording on all these tracks, and also to hear you now sing them.
Well, thank you. I originally had no idea that we would be able to come up with an album's worth of new original material that I could be proud of and that I could hang my hat on. Because I hadn't written a song in 4 years. I had been literally under lock and key with that Badlands Pawn gig. And having to work for somebody else for the first time in my life. I've never had a real job. And that was a great job because I get to be a DJ on the number one rock station in Sioux Falls. And I get to ride around in a tour bus with great gear and a great crew. And I get to put my dream band together and, you know, get to do shows for 5,000-10,000 people. And yeah, it was a great gig. And the money was great. It was all good. But it was not creatively fulfilling because I was not allowed to write, record, or release original music during that period. So when you take the chains off and, okay, it's now I'm free to write, can I still write it? Do I have anything left in the well, so to speak? And I found out that I did. I had intended on doing maybe hopefully getting a half dozen original tunes, re-record some songs from throughout my career, maybe add a couple of covers, and then, you know, we got a record. Didn't end up that way, man. We started writing and we didn't stop, and I still haven't stopped. I'm still writing songs even though the record's done. The creative spark has been reignited, so to speak. I still wanted to include those Keel songs, and that's a selfish thing, man. You know, for me personally, I wanted to sing those songs again. I wanted people to hear me sing those songs properly. The original versions are very special. They're near and dear to our heart. They're part of the fabric of our rock and roll history and part of my legacy. But the vocals suck, man. The guy's singing out of tune. I couldn't hold a tune in a bucket back then. I've had a lot of practice the last 30 years, and I've gotten better. And I deserve another shot at singing some of those songs that made me who I am. If you want to skip over them, that's cool, man. But I couldn't. I had to sing them.
Well, no. I'm just saying, like, now that I heard them, I'm glad I did. But the rest of the record is so good. I just, to me, this doesn't stand up as much, but it was so, I was surprised at how much I enjoyed going through all those tracks. You know, we spent a little time together in Nashville last summer, and you, where you played the, I can't remember the name of the bar, I'm sorry, but you did an acoustic set, and you played Serenade, but you didn't do the falsetto, you do like kind of your normal voice, and to me, a lot of this stuff kind of sounds like that. Like, it was amazing to hear you sing that song, you know, the way you in your normal voice now. I mean, it was like it translated very good. And it was listening to these was a lot like that. Listening to you do that opening scream to the Right to Rock, but not like this overlayered, just, you know, crazy 80s metal kind of thing, which I love, but I love actually hearing kind of the new version.
Man, I need a million more like you, and I'm in business.
yeah. I can verify that I'm responsible for two purchases of Fight Like a Band. The album closes with Hey Man, and again, it's just, you know what? It is hard to, you know, this is almost a conceptual song, like where you're trying to almost like make a lyric out of a phone call, and. You nailed it. I mean, it's such a smooth, fun way to end this record. And just another sign that this album is also sequenced almost perfectly. I mean, I don't know what I would change.
Thank you. Sequencing is a big part of it. That's the album listening experience. So I take great care in doing that. realizing that today a lot of people, well, they won't listen to an album top to bottom. It's very tough for anybody to have that kind of time, but I think that an album still has to be built that way. It's an album. It's a collection of songs to take you on a journey. It should have a beginning and an end and a middle, just like a great movie or a great story or a great novel. And that song, Hey Man, that ends the record, absolutely was never intended to do that. I was sitting with the final sequence, and I listened to it in every possible configuration and realized that that's the one that I've got to say goodbye. Because at the end of the song, in the phone call, I say goodbye, I'll talk to you later, you know, I got to go. Sorry, bye, got to go. I'm on stage, got a show to do, that kind of thing. In my life and in my business, at the hectic pace at which I move, very difficult to catch up with old friends or to call them. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm a phone call guy, man. And texting's cool, and Facebook messaging and emailing and all that stuff. I'm a phone call guy. I like to hear my friend's voice, my children and my friends. I want to hear the voice, and I love the phone call action. There's just never enough time to do that. And I started writing the song for a couple of friends that are songwriters, as you may have gathered from the lyric.
Yeah.
It's about me and a guy that I used to co-write with, and I never get to talk to him or see him, or we don't write together anymore. But it started, it evolved from that to become a phone call to basically I'm sorry, an apology to all the friends that they're still part of my life, but I just don't have time to call them as often as I'd like to.
Especially now with everything you got going on. But yeah, but honestly, a great way to end the record. And now that we've got there, I mean, again, Ron, this probably is my favorite record of your career. I mean, I'll always go to Right to Rock, and I think my second favorite Keel record would probably be the self-titled one from 87, I think it came out. But this
well, thank
one,
you.
Man.
I plan on using some of these money quotes. You've given me some great material for the PR sheet. I'm using some of these money quotes, Baco.
Yeah, I have at it. I'd be honored, to be honest with you. So you have like a CD release party coming up. But why don't you, because is it Lakewood, Iowa? Did I get that wrong?
Larchwood, Iowa,
Larchwood.
Which basically, literally, it's 20 minutes from Sioux Falls. It's right over the Sioux Falls, Iowa border. And it's the big... It's the closest we're going to get to Vegas here in the wild, wild Midwest. Absolute beautiful venue. Great place to hang, eat, gamble, and see shows. A lot of the big national acts play there, and we've never played there.
I Google mapped it today. It's 4 hours from my house.
Dude, come on. What are you – yeah, I'll see you there.
All right, man.
VIP pre-party at 5 o'clock. It's going to be a long day, but I'm telling you. The VIP pre-party starts – at 5 o'clock, we're going to do a meet and greet. We're going to crank up the record on the big speakers, hang with the people. We'll have a bar and just a chance for us all to celebrate and party with our friends here in the area, because the support we've received from the Sioux Falls area and people in this region has been absolutely inspirational and motivational. But we've got people also coming in from all over the country. I've got people from Kentucky, Ohio, Louisiana, Georgia, Idaho. They're all emailing, hey, I'll see you there. I got my ticket. Actually, it's a free show. They don't need a ticket to get to the show, but they might need a plane ticket to get here. But that's amazing that, I mean, these people would travel across the country to be here for this occasion and celebrate it with us. It's going to be a huge night. It's going to be a long day. Like I said, we're doing the album in its entirety. For the first time, we've never done any of these songs except Road Ready. We've been opening with that one for since last summer. We've never done any of the other songs live on stage. There are 19 songs or portions of songs in the show that we've never done before. So we've been rehearsing hard and heavy. We're going to do all those Southern rock classics and tributes. We're going to do the Keel material, stuff off the Metal Cowboy album. And it's going to be a long night, over 3 hours of music. And at the end of that, we'll do another meet and greet where we'll hopefully sell some CDs, sign some autographs, take some pictures, and drink some cocktails.
Well, are we, as we're talking right now, are we in the calm before the storm, or is the storm just starting right now?
Absolute mayhem, man. It has been. It has been for quite some time. But the week before, yeah, it's crunch time. There's a lot of bells and whistles, a lot of details, a lot of moving parts. We've got... And I'm the manager of the band as well as the band leader and lead singer, which is a lot of hats to wear.
Yeah.
But I'm I'm a control freak, and I am pretty good at what I do. So I am coordinating pretty much everything. We've got some additional musicians. Steve Doc Purcell, who was an original member of the band, who never quit, never got fired. He had to go back to Nashville for health reasons a while back, a couple years ago. But he's still, we've done projects together. He actually played on the album. He played on a couple of tunes on the record. I played on Long Way Down. In fact, he's the guy who brought that song to my attention.
Nice.
And he also played on Just a Cowboy. And he's going to come back and join us for the show. And we've got a new guitarist as well, Jason Haven, who's joined the band.
I meant to bring that up.
Because there's a lot of guitar on this record, I want to concentrate on being a front man so I can sing and perform and lead the show. So I needed... What an amazing player. These three guitar players now, it's guitar soup with DC Cawthorn, who's the original guitar player in the band, and Doc Purcell, Jason Haven. These guys are going to, they're not all on stage at the same time. Jason's going to do the new original music, and Doc's going to do the Southern rock tribute stuff. And at the end of the night, we'll all be on stage together for the finale. But I certainly want to mention not just the new guys, but the guys that have been there with me from the start. DC Cawthorn on lead guitar and Gino Arce on the bass. El Diablo, been with me 21 years now. He's also the bass player in Keel. 21 years. He's been in my way when I'm trying to get to the side of the stage to pick up a different guitar. He's the guy that's in my way.
To clarify for anybody who missed that, Gino and El Diablo are the same guy, right?
Same guy, yeah. It's a nickname. Yeah. We all have nicknames. I'm the Metal Cowboy. And Les Dudas.
Les Dudas.
He's Gino Arce and El Diablo. Dakota Scott on keyboards and Jeff the Rev Kohler on the drums. Those last two guys are South Dakota natives who are both members of the South Dakota Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So these are world-class musicians and world-class human beings that are at my side. I could not have scripted a better scenario at this point in my life and my career with a great group of guys who have literally fought like a band to stay together. Nobody quit. Through all the crap that we went through, nobody quit. Nobody's ever been fired from the Ron Keel band. And there's been a lot of tough times.
That's impressive, especially when you factor you're not exactly in the heartbeat of rock and roll. I mean, you're in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I mean, the idea that people hung in tough there, that's pretty impressive.
And we
says a lot about them and you.
Yeah, we moved here for this gig. We all relocated. Me and El Diablo, Gino, and Dave Cawthorn. We all moved here for this gig, and when it fell apart. The Badlands House Band thing.
Yeah.
When they pulled the plug on us.
Yeah, let me just touch on that real quick because you mentioned a couple times. Basically, there was I'm sorry if I don't remember the guy. I don't remember the guy's name, but he built this pawn, Badlands Pawn. It was an amazing venue that were basically was a pawn shop by day, but it was huge, right? They could slide everything out and basically host a concert. They had, I know Kiss played there. There was a lot of big acts that actually played there. And you were
Kiss,
the house
Megadeth,
band. There you go.
Yeah.
And then he also bought a radio station and a racetrack, and he built all this stuff and kind of had this little empire. And there was some kind of a legal issue with the state that ended up basically causing him to make it financially he couldn't. I don't know the details. All I know is that because law passed, he had to shut everything down. And that's what you're talking about.
Well, I have a non-disclosure agreement that
I'm not trying to get into that. Yeah, no, I'm just.
Well, I'd love to. I'd love to write a book about it. Trust me.
Yeah, maybe off air we can talk about that. I just wanted the listeners to know that.
But yeah, it was an entertainment complex like none other on the
there
planet.
There we go.
With a concert venue that held 1,600 people, the number one rock radio station, a racetrack, the whole deal, and I was the face and the voice of the entire franchise. I was the first guy hired, and I was just about damn near the last guy to go. Yeah, I mean, when it all fell apart. So it was a great opportunity, and I appreciate the chance, and it allowed me to put this band together. But when that all fell apart,
everybody
hung
in. I
went to Dave and Gino, and I said, well, are you guys going to stay? And we're all staying. We decided we like it here, and we're staying. And if we're going to stay, we might as well keep the band going. And what are we going to call it now? And I had the brilliant idea to call it the Rock Keel Man.
You know, you could have called it Baco.
That's how it's been, man. We stayed together. We hung tough. We have two rules in this band. We don't stop and we don't suck.
Those are pretty good rules, Ron.
That's how we roll, man. Everything else is fair game, but man, there's no stopping and there's no compromising our music, our friendship, our commitment to entertain people, and looking forward to taking it on the road this summer too. The release party is just the beginning.
Oh.
We've got some big shows this year, especially Keel Fest.
Yeah, let's get into that. Keel Fest.
I thought you might.
Keel Fest 2019 at the Alarosa Villa, presented by Tong Productions, if I've got my press release right. Friday, May 10th, starting at 6 p.m. My Lord, you're going to do Steeler with members of Steeler. You're going to do Keel with the whole Keel band, and you're going to do the Ron Keel band. You're going to sing three sets. Is that right?
It's one show. There's not sets. There's no break. It's one solid three-hour show. And yeah, I'm insane, but I got to do it while I still can, man. I believe that.
Well, let me ask you this, because you sent me your book and I read it, and you're very much a self-trained vocalist on the early end. Did you ever get any official training?
Oh, I'm pretty sure in my book I gave credit to my coach, Elizabeth Sabine.
God, you're a dick. You did that to me last time. Carry on.
I'm a dick. At least I read the book.
I read the damn book. I just don't remember everything.
You can't. No, I don't remember. And I'm doing the audiobook now, Baco. And
yeah, yeah.
It's all coming back to me. As I read it, I got to relive it even more in depth than I did when I was writing it. So that's an amazing experience, reading the audiobook. But I was trained, and that training, that Sabine, and she was the Hollywood rock scream trainer. I mean, she trained me and Jizzy Pearl, Axl Rose. She was this little tiny Australian lady, probably weighed 90 pounds, soaking wet. She was old at the time. She's already old then, in the 80s. She'd light a candle and put it right in front of her mouth, and she would unleash these ungodly screams, and the flame would not waver or flicker.
Wow.
She taught me how to use my body and not my breath. I've been holding my breath the entire conversation, the entire interview, Baco. I have not taken a breath. Okay, but you talk the same.
I haven't blinked.
You can tell. You gotta speak in what we call a connected tone. You know, you're not blowing air through the pipes. It's not a saxophone. It's not a woodwind instrument.
Okay.
That sharp, strong, metallic tone, like I'm speaking now, I could do it all day, all night. There are limitations. We're only human, and I'm not 26 anymore.
Sure.
But you have to train. I have to practice. I'm not a talented guy. I'm a hardworking son of a bitch, so I have to practice a lot. I have to sing every day. I have to talk. I have to exercise my voice, practice, warm up, and stay in shape. But I'm up for the task. We do, literally. I mean, like I said, next Saturday at the record release party, we have over 3 hours of music. And no, it's not Hot on Your Heels or some of that Steeler stuff. But, I think I can do it. The Keel shows that we've done have all been I've been very proud of my vocal results on songs like Speed Demon, You're the Victim, I'm the Crime, all those old Keel classics mm-hmm. that we do on the Monsters of Rock cruise that we'll be doing together at Keel Fest. And I wouldn't be going if I didn't think I could deliver the goods and bring together to all my brothers, all these guys, Rick Fox from Steeler. He did a guest appearance at the Whiskey a few years back, came up and did a couple of songs with us. Mitch Perry on guitar, who replaced Yngwie Malmsteen in Steeler. So we're going to do a Steeler segment of the show.
How much Steeler are you going to play?
We're gonna probably do six songs, I think.
Okay.
I mean, there's only, what, eight, nine songs on the record?
Yeah, nine, I think.
So and one of them is instrumental, thank God.
you're going to play that one?
I'm hoping that I've got all these great guitar players on this. I mean, this is like Generation X or whatever.
Both Brian Jay and Mark Ferrari still play with Keel, right?
Oh, yeah.
Great guitar
Brian
players.
Jones, Mark Ferrari with Keel, Mitch Perry, and then DC Cawthorn and other guitar players from the Ron Keel Band. It's going to be a guitar-a-thon. I'm hoping they'll come out at some point, and we're trying to orchestrate some type of guitar masturbatory occasion where they come out and wake off for 10 minutes so I can have a break real quick at some point during the show. I don't know, but it's an amazing event. Chance for me to get all of that.
I'm
going
to start a GoFundMe to have Yngwie show up and just stand at the edge of the stage during that and go, oh, I could do that.
Man, he'd probably do it for $50,000.
Yeah, okay. He'd do it for beer.
No, I think he'd probably about $50,000, maybe, you know. He's not participating. Mitch Perry replaced Yngwie in 83 in Steeler, and Mitch has serious cred and track record.
Sure,
Having played with MSG and Heaven, he's now with Sweet. He's played with Cher and, you know, Johnny Winter. And he's the guitar player's guitar player. We've stayed friends through the years. We always felt we had some unfinished business. And when I called him to do this, he stepped up to the plate. He said, yes, absolutely. Let's rock. So it's a chance for me to showcase the new album. Ron Keel Band will do all the songs from the Fight Like a Band album. We'll get out there and promote our new record. And give the fans the Keel stuff they want to hear and take them back down memory lane with the 80s and Steeler and all that. We've got Bobby Brown, the Cherry Pie Girl, hosting and emceeing and doing her stand-up
Not
routine.
The member of that boy band who married Whitney Houston.
It's the Bobby Brown, the Cherry Pie Girl.
Of course.
So she'll be there as our host and MC, hostess and MC. And it's going to be a fantastic night. Tickets are only $30. This thing's going to sell out. The show is 9:30 to 12:30, and then at 12:30, the VIP after-party guests get to stay. For $20, you get an after-party pass. You stay in the bar, hang with all of the guys. Your one chance to get a photo taken with Keel, Ron Keel Band, and Steeler, Rick Fox, Mitch, all of us, doing your photo op, having a cocktail, celebrating the 80s, and the present day, the future, and everything in between together.
Right on, man. I'm on board. Haven't quite figured out how to get there, but man, if you're a Keel fan, anybody who's followed your career, this is such a cool event. Kudos to you for throwing it on.
Thank you. And it was really kind of a joke. I thought of it a few years back, and I'm a domain whore. If I think of something, like letthebadtimesrock.com, I'll register the domain. If I think of a line like that, I'll Keel Fest. I registered the domain. All right.
Yeah.
When's that ever going to really happen? I mean, that's unlikely, let's to say the least. And we have an event in Columbus, Ohio, that we're doing on the 11th, the following day, which is a memorial service for who was my best man at my wedding, who was one of my best friends in the world. One of the guys that I wrote Hey Man for, by the way, George.
You know, I wanted to ask if because there was the one line in there that made me think that you were talking about someone who had passed. So it was the guy you're about to talk more about.
That's correct. Yeah, George was best man at my wedding and one of my best friends my whole life. And he passed away from cancer last summer. And we're having a memorial poker run, a bike event for him on the 11th. In Plain City, Ohio, just about 30 miles outside of Columbus, where we're gonna raise enough money to provide for the people he left behind and fix his headstone and just pay our homage to this guy who was a local hero one of my best friends and just a larger than life, tough son of a bitch with bikes and guns and whiskey and he was an amazing cat, man, and a dear, dear friend. So when we scheduled that, I go, well, that's a Saturday. Well, why don't you bring Ron Keel Band with you? I can't bring the Ron Keel Band. It's too expensive. Yeah. I can't bring them out there for an event like that. But what about if we do a show the night before? And what about if we bring Keel? And how about we bring Steeler and turn into Keel? Like, let's do this Keel Fest thing. And Tong Productions, Missy Tong and her husband Jeff Tong, who have promoted some big shows there in Columbus, old friends of mine. And I've known them for a long time. There's a lot of trust, a lot of respect, and they're the perfect production company to bring this show to life in Columbus, Ohio on May 10th. So we decided to go for it. Tickets are selling extremely well, and the again, you're going to have people from all over the country making that road trip to Kiel Fest 2019. I hope to do more of them, but it is expensive. It's just, there's 10 musicians. I mean, I've got 10 guys.
Yeah.
That I have to pay.
Hey, is anybody else playing all three shows?
Besides me?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No. Gino does double duty because he's the bass player in Ron Keel Band Keel. Dwayne Miller from Keel is going to play drums for the Steeler segment because Dwayne actually auditioned for Steeler when he was 18. That's how I met him.
Okay.
He auditioned for Steeler.
So he's going to do Steeler and Keel. What about, is Rick Fox coming out for this? Or?
Yes, Rick Fox.
Nice!
You can't have Steeler without Rick Fox.
All right. Right on.
Absolutely. Rick is still a dear friend, and I love that guy. He's quite a character, but nobody embodies that Hollywood 80s spirit like Rick Fox does, man. He's the real deal. He's still out there in L.A. To have him back with Steeler again, I know it's a thrill for him. He's enjoying the ride. And so it's going to be a lot of fun for all of us. Now, at the end of the night, you will probably see everybody on stage together, performing perhaps Let's Spend the Night Together and Right to Rock and just one big finale type celebration with way more guitars than we need. Hell, man. Plug it in, turn it up, and let's rock.
Oh, well, I mentioned, definitely, by the way, you can find all this information on the Ron Keel website, ronkeel.com, correct?
That is correct.
And just in case anybody is wondering how to find out how to get it more, not like, what more information do you need? Jesus Christ. But
people these days, they have no idea how to find information. It's an internet. Your website is the hub.
It's literally in the palm of your hand.
You can find how many times people will say, hey, Ron, what time you go on tonight? Hey, what's your mailing address? It's all there. And also you can find the link to my Patreon site, which is turning into something really, really cool.
I can't believe you just said that. Let me lead you into that a little bit, you son of a bitch. That was my next thing. Like, I touched on the fact that you and I got to chat a little bit in Nashville. You were at the Rockin' Pod. You were by far the hero of the event. You did almost every podcast as far that would have you. It's no surprise to me, but everybody just seemed to just gravitate towards Ron Keel. So thank you for that from all the podcasters. I guarantee they're going to be happy that you were so giving of your time and such a good guest. But it seemed like you walked away from that basically being like, I am the greatest Patreon person on the world. You started a Patreon and you are so aggressive and perfect with this. Tell the people how they can join the what do they get for the Ron Keel Patreon?
Three different levels, and it's a subscription site. It's like you're subscribing, you're paying a monthly fee, and you're gonna get cool stuff that nobody else gets. Content, audio, video, music and video presentations, personal interaction and experiences with me that nobody else is gonna get. That's my house online where I show my true colors, and my radio show, my podcast. You can go on there and watch the first Keel show ever from April 7th, 1984.
That's a quick question on that. So, like, if someone were to join the Patreon today, would they have access to everything that someone who had joined at the same level at the beginning?
That is correct. You could go back and catch up on the audiobook, the previous podcasts, all of the video presentations, the concert videos and rare clips that I'm sharing. Go back and catch up on what you missed. And get new stuff every week, live interactive experiences, live online chat. And the whole thing grew out of that, as we said earlier in the conversation, Baco, how I wasn't sure when Renee was diagnosed with cancer if I was going to be able to go on the road again.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. I mean, you get hit with a diagnosis like that, you don't know what's coming, man. You hope for the best and prepare for the worst. And I was going, man, I might not ever be able to leave home. I'm not leaving her if she needs me. But I got to entertain people. How can I entertain people online from home? I built a stage in my basement. I've got a concert stage in my basement where I could do an acoustic show for you right now. We do these live Roncast broadcasts live from the fan cave, and the whole place is decorated with gifts from the fans and friends and fans throughout my entire career. I'm able to perform. I could do voice lessons. We're going to do some vocal workshops, songwriting workshops, whatever I feel like doing. If I think, hey, man, I should share this with my friends. Instead of going to Facebook, I'm going to Ron Keel Patreon page, which is patreon.com/Ron Keel. I know a lot of podcasters have embraced that format as well as a way to monetize your product. And God forbid I want to get paid for my work.
Of course.
I think we all do. And people, they're outraged. Some of them don't understand, why are you charging for your music? It's just music. once you come over here and mow my lawn, I'll say, you cut my grass, I'll sing you a song. But it's not expensive. It's $1.99 for the basic tier. $1.99 a month, and that gets you in the door, gets you the live chat, gets you the news and updates and announcements first before anybody else hears about it. You're going to hear about it on my Patreon first. You're going to see all the cool new artwork. You're going to hear the new songs. You're going to be able to interact with me. The $6.99 a month gets you all access, everything, every video clip, every audio clip, everything for $6.99 a month. And the $24.99 is for the insane Keelaholics. But $24.99 a month, I could probably give you about $50 worth of stuff because I'm sending these fans laminated passes and special T-shirts.
Yeah.
I'm mailing out packages every month. All of my subscribers this month. If you're listening right now, it's not too late to subscribe at patreon.com/Ron Keel. Subscribe right now, and I'll send you an autographed copy of the Fight Like a Band CD for free. It's $24.99. If you're a hardcore subscriber, they're not buying my CD. They've already bought it. They've subscribed. So they're going to get one sent personally from me because that's how I roll.
That's amazing. It is actually really cool. Fans of Ron Keel and Keel the band, you should definitely check it out. Do you think you'll ever throw any of the stuff like you did with, what was that chick group you did? Fair Game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, any of that stuff going to come up? Or you got any rare demos?
You can go to my Patreon page right now. If you are an All Access subscriber for $6.99, you can download the entire Fair Game album. It's already there.
Is there any hidden stuff you're going to throw at us down the road?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Last week I played my Black Sabbath demo for the first time in 35 years. Nobody's heard that. Nobody's heard that. The guys in my band hadn't heard that.
Chino's
been my best friend for 21 years. He's been bugging me for 21 years. Hey, God, let me hear that. I've never played it for him, but my Patreon fans got to hear it last week for the first time ever anywhere.
Right on. Yeah, one of the things that I really appreciate about you is that I imagined who you were as a young fan, and you are literally and figuratively that. You are a larger than life character. you're taller than almost everybody I know. But you're a professional. You deliver and trust me, if you're a fan, you're not going to be disappointed by subscribing to Ron Keel's Patreon.
And you can cancel. I mean, you can go on there, pay $6.99, look at everything, and all right, I'm out. Cancel. You're done. It's a month-to-month deal.
Get what you want and bail for $7, bucks, baby.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I have had no one cancel yet, by the way. Nobody's canceled their subscription. I've had a couple of people who's had their credit cards declined, but that's their
that's
problem.
That's a different thing. That's a different issue.
It is. I wish I could cop. I wish you could give it away for free. But it's a job, and I take it very seriously.
But you're not charging something for nothing. There's some pretty cool perks with this thing. I've seen the breakdown and all this stuff. Plus, if you hit that super level, right, the Keelaholic fan, you get, I think you mentioned it, the $20, towards merch,
That's right. Yeah, you can get a $20 gift certificate in the Ron Keel online store. That means you can get me sending you a video Valentine for only $30 instead of $50.
Speaking of Valentine, the listeners should know that Ron did not want to spend Valentine's Day with me. We are doing this the day after Valentine's Day. You pretty much saved my ass, man.
Dude, I was thinking, why does he want to do this on Valentine's Day? Isn't Amy going to be pissed? And so I just That's part of the service I provide for, yeah, for my friends.
Yeah, I owe you. I owe you more than the Patreon. Well, speaking of Roncast, you've been on my show 3 times. It's about time you have me on yours, don't you think?
I mean, totally agree.
You're like seven episodes in, or how was it, 8?
Let's do it. You're on. I love that. Interviewing people that are in your position. Fans, first of all, you're a fan, first and foremost, and a podcaster. The podcast community has embraced me. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing format for communicating with people, going in depth. You're not going to get an interview like this one. We've been talking now for over an hour.
Jesus
Christ.
You're
not going to get that anywhere else other than these podcasts like yours, where fans can really get to know guys like me. And it is working, Bacco. We're selling records because of guys like you. It's absolutely the truth, because the fans will hear an interview like this and go, man, I like that guy. I want to check out the new album. And cool. They'll listen and they'll pay attention. You're making a difference in our careers. So it really means a lot to us. And so I want to interview people like you and some other media and industry insiders on my Roncast to get your perspective on it. So we're going to make that happen, man.
I am totally on board. I was actually thrown out as a joke, but hell yeah. Bring me on anytime you want, Ron.
You got it. It's going
to
happen.
I want to really go back to the song Girls Like Me real quick. You kind of reminded me of that. A couple things. Is that that's actually Renee at the end of the song?
It's not. No.
Oh.
It's Lori Kohler. It's Jeff's wife. Now, we had the girls in. Dude, I have 25 minutes worth of girl talk. So the girls all sang, all of the wives, and you know, they all sang on the record, on the Girls Like Me on the chorus. But I wanted them to say stuff that they wouldn't normally say. So I've got 25 minutes, priceless. I should release this on my Patreon.
There you go.
And so I just sent the girls into the microphone and just things that you would never say to your husband for $1,000, Alex, right? So, and like one of them would say, honey, let's go shopping. I want to buy you a new guitar.
I totally get it now.
And they're all saying stuff that, hey, let's shut up, the game's on, and let's do some shots, and all the stuff that girls would never say, things our wives would never say to us. I have them all say it. And
no, yeah, let's make the listeners wait till they hear it. So,
well, it's not on the track. God bless them. God bless the ladies.
No, but there's the one at the end, though, right?
There's one. And yeah. This Lori, Jeff's wife, the Rev, our drummer, she did not want to be there. She did not want to. She's microphone shy. It's like, I don't want, what am I doing here? Oh, come on. We want the ladies to participate in the recording. And she just walks up and says that first thing out of her mouth. And that's the only thing I ended up using, because the ladies are great. You know, we love our wives. There was no, I like the way the line runs up the back of the stocking.
Sure,
you know,
yeah,
that's what
yeah.
I was looking for. I was looking for something that we could listen to for 10 years now. And so, hey, that's cool. Like when David Lee Roth said that back in the 80s, it's priceless. It's timeless. But that one line that Lori delivers at the end of the song.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's pretty damn good. But I do think I will release those outtakes. We got some chicks talking 30, man. We were just busted up laughing at the studio. We had a good time with this record, man. I tell you, it's a good time song.
No doubt. And the premise of the song, because we didn't really talk about it, is that like you're trying to talk about like you want a girl who's like you, self-interest. But this is my next question that I had for you on that song. I've met you, Ron. Is your wife really like you?
No.
I would hope.
She does. I mean, there's a lot. We do have a lot in common. I mean,
sure.
She loves camping, shooting guns, watching football. She'll have a drink every now and then. You know, so, yeah, there's a lot in common.
But there's stuff other than, like, I always say my wife, I'm not a big religious philosopher, but she is definitely the yin to my yang as a comparison. Like, she balances me out. You know, but we have, like you said, a lot in common, but there are certain things that she kind of like almost makes me correct in certain ways.
Yeah. Renee makes order out of my chaos. My life is absolute mayhem, and she's the order to that chaos. She's got 5 college degrees.
Ooh.
I'm a high school dropout. So there's your balance right there.
See, there's your yin and yang. All the best to you and your wife. It sounds like everything's just, you know, magical there. Ron, you have been so generous with your time. I can't believe we've talked this long.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and I enjoy our discussions, and I hope that the fans and the listeners will enjoy it as well. That's what it's all about, man. We're here to to entertain ourselves and to entertain those people who take the time to listen. So thanks to everybody who's listening to this. Support the podcast and Baco and the entire podcast community. It really is a great way to download interviews and entertainment content and enjoy broadcasts like this at your leisure. Download it, listen to it whenever you get a minute or an hour. And I appreciate the support, our friendship, and I'm just glad you really like the record, Baco. That means a lot to me that you listen to it, you got it, and you like it.
Hey man, sorry it's been so long. I'm still out on the road playing our songs. I don't know where the time has gone, but I keep on keeping on. Yeah, brother, it's over too, but I never stop thinking about me and you. Singing those tunes about Mexico. Wherever we are, that's hell we roll. The singers die, but the songs survive. Our words and music will keep us alive. Through the bad times and the good, we wrote the best songs we could.
Good evening, this is Ron.
Ron, this is Baco.
Baco, what's going on, my friend?